You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with The Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
What's the worst food you've ever had in an NBA stadium?
Pizza.
Where?
Cleveland.
I knew it. I should have said in Cleveland.
Welcome to Oddball. I'm Amin Alhassan, and over there at HR is Charlotte Wilder.
Hey, Amin.
Charlotte, how many people have you let go over Zoom today?
Well, so this actually a little uncomfortable. We appreciate everything that you've done for this company. Unfortunately, I just don't know that our needs are aligned moving forward. I think it's going to be better for everyone if... Just kidding.
Oh, you had me going there. I like that you had to clarify that you were just kidding, because if you hadn't, then I would have just slowly just shuffled my papers together and hit the bricks.
You would have started to cry, yeah. And I would have had to do an NBA show alone. It sounds awful. Anyway, hey, I'm in, our studio's busy, so I'm in a conference room.
Yeah, well, you know what? You look professional as ever with your Freddie Mercury t-shirt on. We've got a great show for you guys today. Charlotte, I'm really excited. We got Coach Craig Robinson. He is the executive director of the NABC, the National Association of Basketball Coaches. He is also the brother-in-law of this guy you may have heard of, Barack Obama. We're going to talk to him a little bit later, and he's going to talk to us about his new podcast that he has with John Calipari. So excited for that.
Wait, how did we not have you called, do your...
It's called being respectful, Charlotte. That's why? Because I'm respectful to Coach Robinson. I did not...
I also want to say to Coach Robinson, he said he listens to the show, watches the show. Yeah. I can't, if you're listening right now, Coach, I can't tell you how much that meant to me. I left and I was like, that is extremely cool that you know who we are. So
he knew Charlotte was a Celtics fan.
It's like, what?
He knew details. So he's not just saying that. He really means it. And it's Wednesday, so we thought, why the hell not? Bring back Word Count Wednesday. Yep, there they go. 10 fingers, 10 words. We'll get to that in a little bit. But first, we didn't talk about this yesterday. Huge, huge gambling scandal involving Michael Porter Jr.'s brother, Jontay Porter. Jontay Porter plays for the Toronto Raptors. Jontay Porter's on a two-way deal. Jontay Porter is, in fact, the brother of Michael Porter Jr. And Jontay Porter has some splaining to do because Charlotte... This man has been going out there and hitting the unders on prop bets involving him not by playing poorly and hitting the unders that way. No. He's developed a much more sophisticated system. I like to call it, ow, 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 I can't play anymore, and just leaves. And I find this to be fascinating. Now, this is all alleged, right? But DraftKings, our big daddy sponsor, Daddy DraftKings, reported that the prop bet action on Jontay Porter was the best, most popular bet of the night, right? And, you know, I don't know how much money was put down on it, but the idea is you got like, hey, Jontay Porter have 4 rebounds and 3 points and, you know, 1 foul, and he hit unders on everything as his...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it was a lot of money. I mean, I think it was like tens of thousands of dollars that they have seen this happen a few times now. Yeah. And after 4 minutes, Jonte Porter, he's a two-way guy, as you said. He's on a $400,000 salary with the Raptors. He's averaging like 4 points a game, mm-hmm. 12 minutes a game. But he went out there, and after 4 minutes, he suddenly had a flare up with an eye injury from before, which is the strain. Like, can't you pick a joint? Like, your eye's better, and then all of a sudden it's worse. Doesn't necessarily.
So the explanation is he actually has had an eye injury.
And right, so, I know, but like say you tweaked your ankle, an eye injury,
go back because everyone knows it's on the books. I had an eye injury. We talked about it a little bit on the Levitard show, myself and Mike Ryan, mm-hmm. and I tend to believe it's not that big of a deal because mm-hmm. again, NBA players by and large make so much money that in order to make it worth their while, you've got to put so much money down to do that. That combined with prop bets are typically limited with how much money you can bet on them. It's just mm-hmm. the juice isn't worth the squeeze for a gambler to influence the game in that way. The only mm-hmm. people who are kind of susceptible would be a guy like on a two-way. But then again, you know, what's the thing? And the other part of it is it was caught. It was red flagged. And this is how the system works. And it's never meant to eliminate crime, so to speak. It just merely makes it very easy to catch a crime in progress, which if this is in fact what happened, sounds like what happened.
Yeah. Do you think it's a bigger deal because he's Michael Porter Jr.'s brother? Do you think this story would get picked up as much if he were just, I mean, it would get picked up, but I feel like part of the juice here is that he is connected to a much higher profile yeah. guy, which tends to make people be like, oh, I know that name. So now I know this name, so now I'm going to pay attention.
So it does two things, right? On the one hand, I would say, no, any NBA player is implicated in something like this, because this becomes a big deal. So mm-hmm. I would say no. But the flip side is, because it's Michael Porter Jr., I think many people might think, well, buddy, you don't need the money. Your brother is ridiculously rich. Like, you guys are fine financially. Why would you do something like this if, in fact, mm-hmm. he did it? So it's a developing story. Word count is up next. This is what we do. We ask each other questions. We got to answer them in 10 words or less, and we count them on our hands like kids. All right, first question. Our good friend of the show, Ice Cube, he has this basketball league called the Big Three, and mm-hmm. the Big Three has reportedly offered Caitlin Clark $5 million to play 8 regular season games and possibly 2 playoff games. That would be 10 games at most for $5 million, fully guaranteed. Charlotte Wilder, is it worth it for her and why or why not?
No.
Okay.
Because too much can go wrong and doesn't need.
Okay.
By the way, while you were talking, I was trying to do the kombucha lady face. No, this is not worth it for Caitlin Clark because, first of all, yes, she could. There would be 2 Fever games, assuming she goes to the Fever, that would conflict with these 10 Big Three games. Mm-hmm. It's not worth it in any. There's no world in which this is worth it. If she gets hurt playing in a Big Three game and can't play in the WNBA and compete for hopefully a championship with her team, or at least, you know, be as good as they can be. Also, right. She can make so much in endorsements. You know, $5 million is not, the money isn't ever going to be the thing that drives Caitlin Clark in terms of doing something that doesn't make sense for her career. So Ice Cube, amazing try. Good thinking, buddy. If I'm Caitlin, I'm like, thanks, but no thanks.
Yeah, I'm the Big Three. This is exactly the swings that you take, right? You take these type of swings because you want to be owning of basketball in the summertime, in the offseason. So the WNBA, it's not like a separate group of people. It's the same people, right? It's the same entities that are running this, that run the NBA, and they're going to say, absolutely not. We're not going to give you permission. So for her, it wouldn't be 2 Fever games that she'd miss. She'd miss the entire season. She would not be on a roster in the WNBA if she were to participate in the Big Three. So then it turns into, you're this incredible icon for women's basketball. you are going to be the face of women's professional basketball. Do you want to maybe not burn bridges, but severely torch many of them?
Basically give all that up. Yeah. Give up your future as the face of the WNBA if you choose this other league over that, which she's not going to do. Last night, Lakers-Bucks was riveting. Mm-hmm. I could not keep my eyes off the game. Double overtime. The Bucks lost. They are now 14-12 since Doc Rivers took over. They were 30-13 mm-hmm. when Adrian Griffin was fired. So are the Bucks better with Doc Rivers?
No, but that's not Doc's fault. Also, they're better prepared. We've had injuries. We know Chris Middleton's been out. We know Giannis has been out a bunch of games recently. So they haven't had their full complement of the lineup, right? Doc Rivers is coming in mid-season. He didn't have the benefit of a full training camp. He didn't have the benefit of full practices. They're trying to build the spaceship in space, basically, in midair. So that's tough as well. And on top of all of that, again, despite the offense not being as great as it was earlier, they've slipped one spot in net rating. I think that speaks a lot to how much of a jump they've done defensively, because it's not just where you are in the rankings. It's actual real points allowed per 100 possessions. Guys know their roles a lot better. Guys are buying into their roles a lot better. And Doc is really good at that. He's really good at pointing out what we need to be doing and why we need to be doing it. So guys are all bought in. The reality is, under Adrian Griffin, they were winning off of just talent. And now you could point to the record. That 14-12 obviously does not include does include the 3-7 start under Doc. They remember struggled into the All-Star break. Yeah. They came out hot and then injuries happened. So I think this team, it was always going to be an uphill battle as soon as they made a switch midseason. But we knew, like I said at the time, you know when someone isn't the answer. And Adrian Griffin was not the answer for this team. So it remains to be seen what happens from here on out and then into the playoffs.
I also think, the Bucks are a little tired. I think the Bucks are a little gassed. We're approaching the end of the season.
Have you ever wondered if Chet Holmgren might be a descendant of Abraham Lincoln? Or if a UFC fighter could beat an alien in a fight? You might have not, and that's okay. But Shea Serrano and Jason Concepcion from the Six Trophies podcast have. If you love basketball, and more importantly, if you love fun, you've got to listen to Six Trophies, where Shea and Jason serve up the biggest moments from around the NBA with their brand of unbridled joy, banter, and pop culture side quests. Each week, they hand out six pop culture-themed trophies for six basketball-related activities. Stuff like the Denzel Washington in Training Day trophy, given out to the player or team having the best week around the NBA. Or the Lauryn Hill you might win some ... but you just lost one trophy for the team or player that just can't get it together. Plus, a bunch more trophies for all the good, bad, or just plain head-scratching moments around the NBA. This playoff season, you'll want to make Six Trophies your go-to companion podcast. Follow Six Trophies on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Our next guest is head coach Craig Robinson. He was a former coach at Oregon State and Brown, and he's now the executive director of the National Association of Basketball Coaches. He's got a new podcast with Coach John Calipari called Ways to Win, in which they use their winning mindset and on-court wisdom to solve your off-court challenges. Now, Coach, I'm going to say that's a new one for me. I've seen a lot of podcasts pop up over the last 5 or 6 years. Right. And everyone's got answers for, you know, how to beat the Nuggets or what the strategy is.
to guard Nikola Jokic. You don't really hear too many people say, I'm going to take my my experience in this field to solve your problems all the way over here. And so I'm really interested. How did you guys come up with that concept?
Well, I mean, first of all, thank you for having me on. And Charlotte, thanks. Love you guys' show. It's a terrific question. And the genesis of this podcast actually came from some thoughts that I had a while back. I wrote a book called A Game of Character, where I talked about how basketball and character sort of intertwine. And I have been so fortunate to have had some great coaches, starting with my dad all the way up through AAU, which, you know, was so different back 40 years ago than it was now. I think I played in two AAU tournaments my entire career, through college playing for Coach Carrill, and then sort of working for coaches, and then working in the corporate realm and being coached and mentored by people who weren't necessarily called coaches, but they were actually coaching. And there were so many things that can sort of straddle both worlds. And we thought that there are a lot of people who don't intersect with coaches. Like, if you're not a player, you don't really intersect with coaches, and coaches have a lot to offer, a lot of life lessons, a lot of sort of sayings and values that can be transferable to folks off the court. And that's how I got started. And I was looking for a partner to somebody who was still coaching to do this with me. And I talked to John Calipari, who is a member of our organization and is going to be the president of the NABC board coming up this year. He said, you know, that sounds like a good idea. And we sort of played around with it a little. And you know, we probably spent about 6 months talking about it and getting it together. And that's how this all came about, Amin.
You know, Coach, I think this is just a brilliant idea. I feel like the thing that I find myself saying or talking about most when we're talking about sports is that environment determines more about individual behavior than individual character does for most people. And I think that when we see so much of what we talk about in the basketball world of, like, why is this person succeeding? Why is this person not? Why is this team working? It's about management, and it's about figuring out how you motivate people. It's coaching. And so I'm interested, what do you think is, like, what's the first correlation that comes to your mind when you think of an off-court problem that you could solve using coaching wisdom?
Wow, that's a great question. And we are going to rely, and not to be patronizing, but I always, like, you know, you do enough of these interviews, and I have, and I love getting questions that make me think a little bit. The first thing that comes to my mind is sort of, at some point, just about everybody is put in a supervisory position. So for me, when I think about coaching, the first thing I think about is what coaches do in sports. They get people who are very highly motivated to do even more than what they think they can do. So that's the first thing that comes to my mind. And that is exactly when I was managing a trading desk, when I was working on Wall Street, you're trying to get highly motivated people who are going to be working their butts off anyway to go a little bit more and to get them to optimize their skill level. So I appreciate you bringing that up, but because I've never really thought about what's the first thing that comes to my mind. So you got a raw answer.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah, Coach, to that point, I think about it like, what is a situation on Wall Street where you fell back on your coaching expertise and said, okay, this is how I'm going to get through to these highly motivated people?
So I'll tell you, and this happened real time, real life for me when I first started managing a small group of sales folks and traders. Coach Carrill, who was my coach at Princeton University and a terrific coach, but he motivated by character assassination, right? So that you both know because you're in the business, but for the listeners out there who aren't in the business, that means he chewed your butt out. And he did it in front of everybody else. So after every single practice, just about, he'd go down the line and so he would say, Craig, you can't do this. Joe, you can't do this. So-and-so, you can't do this. Charlotte, you can do all these things, which is why, and the key being, you knew where you stood. You knew if you were the number one option, why you were. And if you were number 15, you knew why you were number 15. And I was trying to get my staff to understand that. So I tried to do what we call down the line in the corporate environment without the character assassination, right? So I was really positive. So I wanted everybody to feel like they could help each other and they knew where they stood vis-a-vis the other people. And that's how I used it in corporate America. Now, there were times when I got to people who did not like that at all. They did not like hearing someone else get graded in person, and they didn't like to be graded in person. And you learn that, and then you sort of take them into the office and kind of do it privately. But that's where I think it really works for me in managing and coaching, is full-on evaluation of everybody in front of everybody, because then that holds the whole team accountable. And then they start to hold each other accountable.
Right. To that note, what's the Princeton offense of life? Right?
Yeah. So, really the Princeton offense, Amin, is about sacrifice, right? So you sacrifice your own stats, your own ability to score, your own ability to do it, to do whatever you do well for the sake of the rest of the team. So in basketball parlance, that would be, let's pass up a good shot for a great shot, right? And in life, I think it's the same thing. You just have to be willing to sacrifice your own marginal utility for the benefit of the group. And a lot of people don't learn that. And nowadays, the way society is teaching our young people, it's all about individual excellence at the expense of the team.
Do you think that there's an NBA team right now that does that kind of, that Princeton offense well, or that, you know, sacrificing individual stats for the team? Because I can imagine, you know, it's difficult when you have people, these incredibly highly skilled players coming in and who have been highlight reels their whole lives, to get them to work together seems to be sort of the end goal these days.
Yeah, well, Charlotte, what I found when I spent some time in the NBA, almost 5 years there, and everybody is so highly skilled that everybody, except for the big three or the big two on each team, is sacrificing. Mm-hmm. So you could say every team in the league is doing it in some fashion, but I'm not gonna let myself off the hook by saying that. I think if I think about it right now, I think Boston's playing like that, which is why they're doing so well, right?
Yeah.
And I know you're a Boston fan, yeah. And I didn't just say that because of that, but I've seen real growth in Jason Tatum, right? Yeah. He's slowly letting go of the reins to let other people finish and other people shine. And it's really, you know, he's one, I see it, it's coming to him. And that might be attributable to their coach. It could be attributable to their situation. It could be attributable to the players who are just sort of figuring it out as a group. The three teams that I would say are at the top of the list are Golden State, Denver, San Antonio. I think they sort of it comes from the top down, from either the coach or management. And Amin, you remember this from your days in the NBA. If the top is broken, I don't care how much talent you have, the bottom is cooked. Mm-hmm. right?
Absolutely.
But if the top, and it's so interesting to me, you know, because these guys at the top, and I'm getting a little bit off topic, but I'm not. These guys at the top run their teams differently than they run their businesses. They would never run their business the way they run the team.
Right.
That is such a great point.
Those three teams, I think either it comes from the top or it comes from the front office or it comes from the coach, but it's coming from above the players. Mm-hmm. Whereas, you know, as you get older and you have some NBA teams that are real veteran teams, some of that comes from the bottom. Like I think about, my own Bulls, right? Mm-hmm. The first three championships, I thought it was really coming from the bottom, and Phil just knew how. Phil knew how to sprinkle in some magic dust, because mm-hmm. he had such. You know, when he had that veteran. Did I say the first three? The second three championships.
Yeah.
He had a really veteran group who knew what they were doing.
So here's a quick story.
Okay.
So every year, the NBA sends every team. Mm-hmm. Like 20 brand new basketballs.
That's nice of them.
Yeah. So when it comes in, these balls are bright orange and they're very hard. They haven't been broken in yet. So the vets, when they come to shoot, they don't want to shoot with the new balls. They want the old balls because the old balls are worn in. They're soft. They're better for dribbling. They're better for shooting. The hard balls are like terrible. So if you give a vet a brand new ball, he'll throw it back at you and say, I don't want that. There's a story that I can't tell about Shaq throwing a new ball back at me and says, don't give me that one. Give me the other one. The words are a lot more explicit. Yes, a lot more explicit. But the point is, that's what players enjoy playing with. No one likes playing with a brand new ball. Mm-hmm. So you know what we would do is we get the balls and we give them first to the summer league guys. And the summer league guys would just practice and do all their drills and stuff with those balls. And then over the summer, the young players have to use those, where the vets who come in to get work done get the older balls. So and by the time we get to camp, they've kind of broken in a little, but still not enough for a vet to use. So the young guys are using these exclusively.
Wow.
And then at some point, like over time, they get worn enough to graduate.
So what is a game ball? How used is a game ball?
It's pretty used. Like do they keep
nicest used ones for the game?
Yes. The equipment manager has like two or three, like these are game quality balls.
Wow.
And then at some point they get too old and they get really dark and kind of really slick or whatever. Yeah. And then they're in the practice facility, but it's like the one that nobody wants.
No.
So kind of like it's a life cycle. You start off, nobody wants you, and then you're in your peak, everybody wants you. And then it's kind of like being a player.
What? Oh,
yeah.
I was going to say we should make a children's book about the life cycle of a basketball.
Yeah.
That's actually a great idea. Nobody take that.
Do not air that.
Yeah. I want it for me.
Texting privacy policy and terms and conditions posted at textplan.us. Texting enrolls for recurring automated text marketing messages. Message and data rates may apply. Reply stop to opt out. Individual results may vary. Consult a doctor prior to use.
You've lost so much weight. How'd you do it?
I got medical treatment for weight loss through Zelty and lost 50 pounds. I struggled for the longest time, but Zelty makes it easy and affordable to get weight loss treatment 100% online. Zelty providers can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications clinically shown to help people lose weight, like Wegovy, Zepbound, and others.
I've heard those medications can help you lose weight, but aren't they expensive?
Zelty can help get the medication covered by insurance, so it's as little as $0 a month.
What if you don't have insurance?
No problem. Zelty may be able to help you get other GLP-1 medications for 80 to 90% off the price of name brand medications.
I'm ready to start losing weight. How do I get started with Zelty?
Just text.
Text LOSE to 200-300 to get started today with Zelty and see if weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound are right for you. Don't wait. Text now for a link to your exclusive offer. Text LOSE to 200-300. That's LOSE to 200-300. LOSE to 200-300.